Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, where we talk about the real issues that men have to deal with on a daily basis. This is where we are transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering hope and help for men. And I believe that sometimes it ends up being more than just men that listen to the show, and that is okay. I love the fact that our scripture, the Word of God says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what this thing is all about. That's what Band of Brothers Radio is here for. It's to be able to reach those who are in darkness, those who make a decision on their computer to listen to this show rather than go to one of the other sites. I love the fact that we're able to make ourselves available 24/7. In the studio today, and by the way, my name is Raul, if you've never met me. I kind of head up men's ministry here in Northwest Washington called the Band of Brothers. And we do real things similar to what we're doing right here and right now. It's about, first and foremost, is that we hold and believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And He's the one that actually gives us not only grace for salvation, but to be able to help those who are still in darkness by being transparent, honest, being willing to share our weakest parts of our innermost beings with other men so that they know that they are not alone. And in the studio today, I have Steve with me.
Great to be here.
Well, one of the things that we actually end up doing is that we answer email questions that you send in. Brother, if you have a question on any topic that is in between your ears up there, you can shoot that into us. We will answer it anonymously so that nobody will know who it is that actually sent in the question, and we'll answer that for you. We'll give you not only biblical advice, but our own personal experiences. And so we just thank you for doing that. And I believe that Steve has picked one of those out today.
Well, Raul, I do have one here. Actually, in reading through some of our emails, we wish we could answer every one of them right away, but here's one that I think we cannot overlook. This program is about men's issues and the challenges that men face. What we understand is it never just affects the man, but it also affects the people around him. This brother writes, "I really messed up and cheated on my wife. It was really stupid, and I am very sorry. I ended up telling my wife because the other lady was going to tell my wife, and I thought I better be the one to tell her first. She freaked out, of course. What do I do to fix this? I really love her." Well, brother, what do you think? What would you say to this gentleman?
Well, I tell you, it sounds it sounds real normal for a guy. It's just, how do I fix this? Let's just take care of it. Let's get the tools out and get it taken care of so I can get on with my life, so to speak. I want to say I admire your courage in shooting this out to us, brother. And, there's something about conviction and guilt that used to inundate my mind. I can totally understand with this guy where he's at. In my life, before I was a follower of Jesus Christ, I was not very proud of a lot of things that I did. And what he has shared here is something that I had done in my very first marriage. I was not a very faithful man at all. And but there was one thing that I did not do that he did. I never disclosed it until after it was all taken care of, when I ended up making and taking care of business through amends for some of my faults. And that in itself, by going to his wife, I've
been with men who have shared that sort before, and they had the same response. I believe that there isn't anything that's going to necessarily make this all right just overnight. You've got a challenge here and some things that are taking place in your life, okay, that are actually not the most healthy ways to be able to be in a marriage or in a relationship. I know that until I started taking a look at inside of me. Right now, you've disclosed something to your wife, your best friend, the one who has trusted you. You betrayed her. She knows that. She feels that. And I know you know what it's like to have been betrayed, because most men have been on both sides of that trust issue. We've been betrayed, and we've betrayed others. And in this sense here, you know that you have broken her heart. So there isn't anything that you're going to be able to buy at the corner store, at the hardware store, that's going to be able to heal this overnight. But there is something that will, and that is Jesus Christ. I believe that that's where, even as we speak right now, that you are continuing to seek Him and His counsel. And that may be through... I'd like to think that you are a believer, because that's why you're listening to the show, or maybe you've heard, or maybe you don't go to church, but maybe it's time that you not only let your wife know that you're deeply bothered by this and that you want to do everything that you can for her, but what you don't want to do is just let it lie. You want to let her know that you want to move forward into continuing to make sure that this does not happen again. That you'd be willing to, whether it be through counsel, through another pastor, or maybe a professional, to be able to seek that, to be willing to die to self. In other words, be able and willing to bring out whatever it is that caused this to take place in the first place. So you have a long road ahead of you, brother, but you know what? We do this one day at a time. We've got to do it one day at a time. If we don't, all of a sudden it becomes unmanageable, and there's no way. I would look at it, and the enemy would have a playground in my head saying, you're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to fix this. It's way beyond repair. You might as well just go out and party hardy and just forget the whole thing. So we just want to rebuke the enemy right now, because his lies, that's all they are, brother. They're lies. You'll know when they come from God. When you draw closer to God, He'll reveal Himself to you. So...
these are challenging moments in anybody's life. And the brother here indicates that he really loves his wife and that he's very sorry. And those are emotions and feelings that come in these crisis moments. And I am sure that those are very genuine. But the real deeper issues here is not that he loves his wife, but that he really loves God. Mm. Because if loving your wife was enough to keep a man from falling into this snare of Satan, we would see less of this.
Yes.
But the enemy blindsides you at your weakest, most vulnerable moments and takes advantage of you. Jesus said the thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy. Mm. And every man who has started on a journey to follow after God is now in the target zone of the enemy. So what this brother needs, first of all, is repentance before the Lord, and to just fan into flame a red-hot love for Jesus Christ, so he can honestly say to the Lord, I'm gonna love you, Jesus, with all of my heart, and I'm going to serve my wife no matter whether she stays with me or she leaves me. This is no longer about me. This is about my love for you and glory for you and my heart filled with the Spirit. I'm going to minister to this woman no matter what she decides to do. As men, we just want to fix it. We want to repair it. We want to compartmentalize it. We want it to begin here, end here, close the book, put it back on the shelf, and then move on to something else. This dear woman is going to have to find a kind of grace that can only come from God. Mm-hmm. If she can receive that from the Lord, if she can get grace and she can forgive by God's power, and this brother has a red-hot love for Jesus, then there is something to work with. And they can be repaired, they can be restored, they can have a depth of relationship that they never had before. They can live in the security of walking and living in the presence of the Spirit. Mm. Beyond that, they are going to be on a painful pathway where there, frankly, is not a great deal of hope for success. Mm. The answer, when he says, what do I do to fix this? My answer to that is get on fire for Jesus and love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Mm. And then trust God to work out the details.
But you can't buy that at the hardware store.
You can't get it. You can't get it. That's right.
All right. Well, when we come back from our break here, we're going to delve right in and carry on where we left off. We're going to delve back into David's life. There's some things that I believe as men that we can learn from this story of his life. It is filled with so much wisdom and some learning lessons that, brother, we don't have to go through and battle the stuff that he had to battle with. We can learn from his challenges, his errors, his wisdom. So stay tuned. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and I'm in the studio with Steve today, who is the minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a leader of men. And we're heading down trying to learn a whole lot, as much as we can, from David's life. And I believe today we're probably going to be in that realm of how do we handle major setbacks in our life? What is it that, how do we react? What do we do? Do we react? Do we pause? You know, some things about what took place in David's life, I believe there's some wisdom there that we can take and hopefully apply into our own lives to so that we don't fall into the same traps that maybe we will see and hear about him. So where are we at with this, brother? What do you think?
Well, Raul, last Friday, we were talking about the relationship between Jonathan and David. And I hope we made the point with clarity that every man needs other men in his life to stand with him, mm-hmm. that nobody makes it on their own. In fact, if you try to do life on your own as a man, right. you're headed for a life of a personal prison, a life of secrecy and separation and seclusion. You're only going to find trouble there. We need other men that we can share our lives with. It's great to talk to your wife. It's great to have some female influence. But man to man, you need opportunities to where you can talk about things as they really are. Mm-hmm. So I hope we established that last Friday. But today, we're going to move into the next chapter of David's life. So I'll just quickly give you a synopsis of the story and then find out what you think David ought to do. So David now is being pursued by Saul. Mm-hmm. Saul wants to kill him. Saul's going to lose the kingdom. David's going to become the king. And there's this interim period. And, you know, you think when you know you're going to be king and you know that everything is going to come your way, you kind of expect that things are going to go good. But that's not the way life works. Right. And David's going to go through this severe chapter where he is hunted and pursued, and he's in hiding as if he's a criminal. And finally, he decides that he's got to get away from Saul completely. And so he goes over to the Philistines, who are the enemies of Israel. And he aligns himself with the king of the Philistines becomes under the leadership of Achish, the Philistine king. And Achish gives him a city for David and his men. He's got about 600 men. They have their wives, their children, all their possessions. And he gives them the city of Ziklag. Well, there comes a moment when Israel is actually going to fight against the Philistines. And the Philistine leaders look at David and say, there's no way we're going to let him fight on our side, because in the midst of the battle, he'll turn on us. Mm-hmm. So Achish sends David back to his city. So here's David. He's been rejected by Saul. He has no place in Israel. Mm-hmm. He thought he found a place among the Philistines, but now they have rejected him. And so he's very despondent. And he and his men, who have been away from their little hometown now for a while, come back. And we pick up the story in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. And it says, when David and his men came to Ziklag, verse 3, they found it destroyed by fire, their wives and their sons taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. That's where David's at. So you're rejected by your homeland. You're rejected in the foreign land where you've sought refuge. Now you come back. Your city has been completely burned. Your wife and children have been taken captive. All your possessions have been taken captive. The men who are with you are so discouraged. These are the only people you have around your life. They're so bitter. They're thinking about stoning you. Now, what do you think? You think this is a low moment in David's life? But look what David did. The Bible says, but David found strength in the Lord his God.
Yes.
In the King James Version, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, Raoul, when a man is at his lowest point, I mean, and everything in his life has gone wrong, how do you encourage yourself and find strength in the Lord? I mean, what do you do? It sounds impossible.
Well, you know, most of the time, as you, the way that you had put this, the way that the story is read, the way that I receive it, is it reminds me so much of what it was like before I came to that place of saying that I cannot do life the way I've been doing it. I've actually got to a place what some might know in recovery that we call a bottom. Getting to that place of saying, man, I don't have any more aces up my sleeve. I have no more ideas. Everything I've tried has not worked. Sure, some of it has worked for a while, but then it seemed to be futile and just fell through, and it has backfired on me, and I really, truly feel alone because everything and everyone that I knew, nobody is near. At my closest point to finally getting to that place of saying, Lord, I am yours. Take all of me. What little there is, there seems to be, the good and the bad, take it all. All of it. I can't hang on to nothing. I think that's truly what David's doing here, is that he's saying, man, everybody has turned away from me. Nobody wants me. I'm supposedly to be the head guy. And all of a sudden, from my own, even the guys who are close to me, the guys who are going to be at war with me side by side, are now talking about stoning me. And I've lost my wife and my children. There is nothing left. And I think that's where it comes back down for what I believed in my heart, that seed that was planted there, that said that God is there. And you know what? I think that's why it was so crucial. I wish I could remember back when who that person was that planted that seed in me. I just say, bless them, Lord, because that was there. Because in the midst of even in my battles, before I got to that place, when I was called, what I call foxhole prayers, when I thought it was the end, I said, God, help me. God, help me. And you know what? At times, I think he believed, or he didn't believe, he actually did help me, got me out of that situation. And I said, okay, well, thank you very much. I'll take it from here, so to speak. But this place that you're talking about where David was at is a place that I call where I was at my bottom.
So I want to seize on an idea that you just mentioned, and then I want to come at this from another angle as well here in a few minutes, which I think will be very helpful. But in terms of your journey and coming to God, mm-hmm. and you correct me if I'm wrong, but what I just heard you say is you finally came to a place of complete and absolute surrender.
Yes.
But what I also heard you say is before you got there, you kept doing, pulling things out of your sleeve, so to speak. Mm-hmm. In other words, you prolonged the painful part of this
yep.
because you continued to depend upon yourself.
That's right.
But at some point, you ran out of tricks.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you finally came to the realization mm-hmm. that you needed a power greater than yourself, and you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and that's when the healing began.
Yes, yes.
So, Raul, are you telling me that a man really can't get on the path to spiritual health and wholeness until he finally surrenders it all to Jesus?
You know, my experience is usually what I have to go with, and I know that for me, that it really boiled down to I had to, in a sense, almost lose everything that I had to be able to get there, knowing that I would take that and accept whatever he gives me, okay? I know before, like I'd mentioned before about the foxhole prayers, that those are that God help me type of thing. And if I was able to get out, then I knew that, okay, now I've got an ally. It was God. He'll be there for me when I ask him to be able to help out, and I'll keep doing the things I want to do. And a lot of that had to do with sin, would not be very, very looked upon favorably upon our Lord. There's no doubt. Now, is it absolutely necessary for a guy to get to a bottom to finally get to that place of knowing Christ and truly having that relationship work? You know, I believe it does. I believe it takes everything for me to be empty, to finally squeeze everything out of me to get to that place of saying yes.
Okay, so we've got some people listening to us today, and they're saying, Raul, I love your story. It's wonderful, and thank God for what he's done in your life. But I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I haven't cheated on my wife. I'm not bound by pornography. So I don't – when you say hit bottom, and you're talking in those – life
right.
patterns. That's not my story. So does that mean I don't need Jesus? Well, I mean, is there some other, I mean, can a man come to the end of himself without completely destroying his life? Can he come to a point where he realizes that he can't save himself and that he needs Jesus?
You know, I believe that they can, because that's similar to if I was told as a child that when I looked at the candle flame and I looked at that flame and I kind of focused on it, the lower part of that candle flame is blue. The upper part is kind of turns yellow, gold, and then the top is white. Now, I'm sitting there and I'm going, someone tells me that flame is hot. But I'm thinking, okay, well, I bet the top is hot, but that blue part probably is not near as hot. It's probably cooler. And if I go and touch that flame, I'm going to find that it's hot. Okay, somebody gave me some wisdom, said, don't touch that because you're going to burn yourself. But I went ahead and did it anyway. I can either learn from someone else's mistakes and their challenges in their lives and imply that into mine. So in a sense, I guess where I'm coming around to, at least where you're bringing me here, is that, no, it's not necessary that I lose everything before I finally get to that place of total surrender. Because sometimes it comes in the educational variety, so to speak. or that, see, I'm going to start using some more lingo that I'm familiar with, of having that spiritual experience of the educational variety. I wish at times that there was that where all of a sudden I would just wake up the next morning and everything was changed, but it never happened that way for me. I had to actually go through those challenges. So I think as a result of me submitting as much as I possibly could to the Lord, okay, and saying, take me, all of me, the good and the bad, what I believe is my everything, it may not very well be consciously, but in my mind it is. And then all of a sudden, I find that my life starts to change because now he is in it, and mm-hmm. I'm following him. Mm-hmm. And he puts men in my life who help direct me and help to remove some of those things that maybe I still have attached, thinking that, you know, I'm never going to use it again, so I'll just keep it on the back end. And they're saying, no, this needs to go away completely.
So I think what you and I are sharing here this morning is that some of us as men are so hard-hearted and hard-headed that it takes a painful path in order for us to come to the end of ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we also know that other men are going to come to Christ without totally destroying their lives, without blowing everything up,
right,
simply because we're all sinners. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin.
Yes.
And that some men are going to yield themselves to God before they've completely ruined their lives.
Yes.
And thank God for that.
Yes.
You and I seem to be called to the ministry on the other end of this, since we personally have blown up our lives,
right,
and we know what it is to live with wreckage and ruin. We've been called to speak into the lives of men who really have hit bottom. And we have a message, Raul. Our message is, on the other side of the bottom, there is life in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
On the other side of failure, there is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. On the other side of hopelessness and despair, there is hope for the future. There is forgiveness for the past. God is at work in our lives, rebuilding, restoring, and renewing. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to all the brothers that are listening, listen, when you come to this point of brokenness and you hit bottom, as Raul mentioned, we're not offering you a quick fix. We're not offering you here, say a few magic words and everything's going to be better tomorrow. But there is a way that leads to life, and we're encouraging you to get on that path and walk it with us.
When we come back from our break, we're going to actually try to expand this a little bit, kind of widen this a little bit so that even more may be able to understand what I'm trying to say. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Christmas is just around the corner, and it brings with it so many tantalizing aromas. The smell of the Christmas tree in the living room. Ah, the intoxicating aroma of the Christmas cookies fresh out of the oven. And of course, the mouth-watering aroma of that Hempler's ham for your Christmas dinner. Be sure to order yours right away. The entire Hempler's collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and have no MSG added. And they're made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. It's an 80-year tradition that started out in their kitchen in Germany. Order your Hempler's ham right now at Hempler's.com.
But today I found myself after searching all these years. And the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. I was lost when you found me here. And I was broken.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and sometimes I can just keep listening to that music. Thank you, producer, for taking care of that for us. Steve and I are, we're just all involved with David right now and some of the things that what's taken place in his life, how that applies to ours. And now we get to that place, just as David did, of being encouraged through the Lord, okay, to be able to overcome, to be able to deal with the situation at hand for him and how that looks in our lives when we get to that place of finally saying, okay, at this point, I'm done. I can't do it any longer my way. I'm going to do it your way. And what does that look like? What does that look like one day at a time from that point forward?
Well, here in David's story, we have this moment of devastation. And I think you get the feeling, you know, these guys are coming back from a battle they did not get to fight in, that they wanted to participate in. They're getting closer to home, and, you know, all of a sudden there's this big billow of smoke coming up. You know right away they know something's wrong. They get closer. There's no kids running out to meet them. There are no wives in front of their homes. In fact, the homes are just an ash heap, and everybody's gone. It's a devastating moment. Even David's men are so and these were loyal men. These were men that loved David and followed David. Right. But they're so discouraged and defeated that they're talking about stoning David because he's been the one that's led them and got them into this situation. David has no place else to turn. And the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord, that he strengthened himself in the Lord. So here's a picture coming at it from a little different angle than we were talking a few moments ago. Here's a picture of a Christian man. Because just because you're a Christian doesn't mean everything in your life is always going to go well. We suffer loss. People around us sometimes get ill. Sometimes, sooner or later, it's inevitable. They're going to pass away. Sometimes we lose a job. We get a job. We lose a job. You know, kids go through their problems. Being a follower of Christ does not guarantee that you will be exempt from the real issues of life. Now, here's the challenge, Raoul. When we are at these low moments, we are more vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy and to caving in. And for those of us, as you and I mentioned earlier, who have blown up our lives in the past, when we're at these low moments, that's when we're tempted to find relief by going back to our old pattern of living. So here is where a man needs to know what steps to take when everything seems to be against him. So here's what David did. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. So I want to get real practical this morning. How does a man do that? Well, the 103rd Psalm says, David said, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, and who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Now, how does a man encourage himself in the Lord? Well, it begins by praising God with all your inmost being. In other words, instead of looking around you at the devastation and the problems that you're currently facing, instead you go inside into your inmost being, and from the depths of your soul, you begin to praise God. You say, "Jesus, thank you for saving me. Jesus, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit into my life. Jesus, thank you for all the wonderful things that you have done in my life. Jesus, I praise you today because you are who you are and you do what you say you will do. Thank you for being in my life. I worship you, I praise you, and I give you glory." So now a man can start doing that regardless of what's going on around him. Now, the story ends well here. David's going to get strength from the Lord, and God's going to tell him to go after the Amalekites. He's going to go after them, and he's going to get his wives and children and possession. He's going to get it all back. But David doesn't know that when he starts praising the Lord. So when the chips are down, when you feel at your lowest, instead of yielding to despair and defeat, a man can lift his heart and his voice to God and begin to praise the Lord.
So at that point, when I end up in my life, when things are not going well, and my head tells me that I need to go back to the old ways of dealing with things, and in some cases it would be, and I'll use my own experience so that I don't have to try to just pull one out, that all of a sudden, you know what, you might as well just forget all of this. Go ahead. It's okay to go ahead and have a drink. You can handle one drink, and then, you know, don't worry about it. And I know in my heart that if I were to do that, what that drink used to represent was something that was going to take the pain away, take the feeling away, take it and change everything. And little did I realize that there's so much truth to that. It did do all of those things, and it sometimes made it even worse. So what I had to do is I had to do something totally opposite of what my head was trying to tell me to do, which I believe was the enemy. Okay.
Well, here's what we're dealing with. The Bible says in Romans, don't be conformed to this present world,
yes,
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
So our words are simply expressions of our thoughts. And it becomes a matter of focus. So when the chips are down, and you just said it, when the chips are down, your old nature wants to focus on what previously relieved your pain.
Exactly.
Well, guess what? When you start focusing on something, it's just like a magnet. You don't have the willpower. You don't have the strength. You can't stop that dam from breaking. If you're looking at the wrong thing, and it becomes your focus, brother, that is where you will end up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we're saying here, mm-hmm, is that David put his in the, he could have looked at the ash heap. He could have looked at the empty village. He could have looked at his men that were about ready to stone him. He could have looked at all these negative things, which, mm-hmm, would have only pulled him farther down.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he did the opposite. He wasn't conformed to the situation,
right,
but instead he was transformed,
mm-hmm,
by the renewing of his mind. He got his mind and his heart upon the glory of God. And he began to say, Father, I worship you. Father, I praise you. Father, I give you glory. You're the Almighty God. I trust in you. You do all things well. And as he began to say that, his spirit began to resonate with the truth. And he was strengthened. And notice, after he strengthened him, he pulled him, he rose into the presence of God. And that's when he heard God say, go after them, David. And when you're focused over here the wrong way, and you're looking at something out of your past, and you're thinking, boy, that's gonna get me out of this situation, that's gonna relieve my pain, you might as well put your fingers in your spiritual ears, because you can't hear what God's saying to you. You're listening to the wrong voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remember, the thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes us think, if it all but destroyed us before, what makes us think for a moment it's not going to destroy us again? And so in this moment of brokenness, when everything is out of your control, what does a man do? Well, a man gets alone and he lifts his voice to God and he begins to give thanks. He begins to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to sing to the Lord. Because when he does that, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. David found strength in the Lord. And that's what happens when we turn our faces and our hearts heavenward.
The Lord can speak to you and to me, brother, the same way he spoke to David. Stay tuned, I'll explain.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
What is a bigger picture?
Start living right now. Show me the greater purpose. You know, that's a segue into what I wanted to let you know, brother. We were talking before, we're reading David's life. We're talking about how David was encouraged through the Lord by seeking him and giving him praise, okay? The Lord ended up blessing him, and that's in the stories to come here that you'll end up seeing that, revealing that. I want you to know, brother, that you and I hear the same thing from the Lord. You did today. His word never comes back void, brother. This word that was shared with us today, it applies to our lives. There is no doubt. You are like a David because the Lord is looking fondly upon you. He loves you, brother. And he wants you to be able to move forward and out of this muck and mire that you're in. And all we have to do is reach up to him. Lift up your hands and give him praise. Say, Father, be here with me, Father. And he will be. And he will pull you out of that muck and mire. Now, he may very well have your phone ring. He may very well encourage you to call another brother. Okay? Because it's not about, as Steve had mentioned earlier, about our focus being on our problems and our troubles. Let's look outside of ourselves. That's part of why God has put these other men in your life, godly men. Because in turn, together, collectively, you'll come together and in turn be able to help others.
Absolutely. In this moment, it's important to know that praising and worshiping God isn't something that you have to do or a burdensome experience or even something you have to learn. If you come to a moment when everything in your life seems to be falling apart, all I'm saying is let's you and I do what David did. Let's begin to thank God and praise God and worship God and trust God. What happens is when we do that, we get in tune with where the answer is going to come from. Because the answer to life's problems will always be found reaching towards heaven. They will never be found reaching back towards the life we have left behind. So worship the Lord. The Bible says the Father's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. God loves to hear your praises. He dwells in them. And as you praise God, he will pour his strength into your life and lead you in a pathway that will bring glory to God and blessing to others.
He'll also give you that opportunity to be able to reach those other brothers. And that's what you want to take. You want to... Hey, as men, we go to our toolbox, man. When there's a problem, we sit there and I know what tool it'll take to be able to take care of this. And, you know, the right tool for the right job, so to speak. And so you have been given a new set of tools. And I'm going to tell you something. I have found in my own life that if I end up looking toward him and asking him, he's going to give me more and more tools to be able to use that I did not even have a clue or even around. That all of a sudden, before I know it, I don't ever have to go through that process that I was going through before to make something better than what it used to be. You know what? It's about unlearning the old ways and trusting God and coming to him, even in the midst of our troubles. I got to tell you, there's so much truth in that, and I hear it over and over again, not just in my own life's experience, but from other brothers who would be willing to share that with you. But see, we have to be around them to be able to hear that.
Well, I'll tell you, praise and worship is contagious. And here's the thing. David said that the blessed man of Psalm 1, he meditated in God's word day and night. So the whole proposition here is the word of God gets into our spirit.
Yes.
It gets into our spirit, and then we begin to think about it. It's what's in our mind. Well, what's in you is what comes out of you. We begin to speak life. We begin to speak words that glorify God, words that edify other people. We're refusing to look at the problems around us like David did and trying to figure it out on our own. What do I do here? Instead, we go to God, and the Bible says that he doesn't withhold wisdom, but he pours it out on us. You know, everything we need, the scripture says the mysteries of God are hidden in Christ. They're hidden in Christ, but they're not hidden there from us. They're hidden there for us. And he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I mean, it's, you know, everything we need. But praise brings us into the presence of God. The scripture said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart and enter his courts with praise.
You know, one of the things I love about our Tuesday night band of brothers is that not so much the prayer time that we have together, but I love after the prayer time when all the men stand and we sing together, okay? We just make a joyful noise, but we give it to the Lord because he judges us by our hearts. No, brother, I thank you for taking time and listening today, and I hope that you're inspired and encouraged this day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious to you. The Lord put his face upon you and grant you peace. Brother, you are not alone. Praise God.